to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. By the way, Brother Eddie White's still not doing well. Pray for Eddie White. He's real sick with that flu. Lizzie, me and Rosie had that for 2 and 3 weeks. Usually Eddie bounces back, but he's got it bad. And take it easy on him for a while. Anyways, pray for Brother Eddie. And then Brother Jack broke his foot. How you doing there, Hopalong? Amen. See, is he behaving himself? Okay, watch over him. Oh, praying you get better, Brother Jack. God bless your heart. And so, two Austins up there doing the sound tonight. All right. Okay, got double Aust. How many of you got Hebrews 10:31? Hold your finger there and also turn to Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19. I worked on a message for 4 hours yesterday. Around 8:30, I went downstairs and the Lord said, "That's not what you're going to preach." And I went up and worked at midnight almost on another message. And I want to preach this message to you today. It's got some teaching from Romans. But God called an audible last night on me. And so we are going to be giving you some, you that took the Romans class, you're going to get some of the Bible teaching from the Romans class that we did. But so you got Hebrews 10:31, that's where we're going to start. Let's all stand. Hebrews 10:31. And then, boy, this is a great crowd today. And I still see a few families. I know they're not here. But it's a good crowd. Thank you for coming. Hebrews 10:31. Romans 3:19. Notice what Hebrews 10:31 says. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know what? This world's going to fall in the hands of the living God. They don't believe it, but when it happens, they're going to be terrified and it's going to be too late. Now notice Romans 3:19. Bobby, I've been thinking about someday, maybe next time, soon I'm going to teach this book of Romans again. It's in me again. I don't know when we're going to do it, but I want to teach. It takes me 8 months to teach it, but I got the Romanitis lately, and so we'll see. Look at verse 19 in Romans 3. Now we know. Are we guessing or are we knowing? Now we know that what things soever the law says, it said to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. I'm going to talk to you about the day every mouth is stopped. That's my message today, the day every mouth is stopped. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth you put in my heart from this great Bible. Help me to preach well for you. Help me to teach well. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll go out and reach people's hearts for the cause of Christ. Now use me, Father, as a vessel for your honor and glory, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's a future day coming. Some call it Judgment Day. The Bible calls it the Great White Throne. Matter of fact, hold your hand there in Romans, because I'm going to come right back. But in Romans chapter 20, I'm just going to read it to you. This is what the people call the Judgment Day. In Romans 20, verse 11, it's near the end of time, before we go out in eternity, and we go out with God and forever and ever. Verse 11, the white throne, and Revelation 20, 11, I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Boy, that day when every mouth is stopped, there'll be no place to be found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is a book of life. Boy, you want to have your name in the book of life. That saves you from this day. And the dead which were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, just like it's a whosoever will may come, those that didn't come or whosoever will not be in heaven. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is a day for all generations when all lost men and women stand before God Almighty. The evil day, the evildoers of our world today, they scoff at me today. They make fun of this today. And they do not believe this. But just because they don't believe it doesn't mean it's true. People can say, "Well, I don't believe it's snow. There's snow out there tomorrow." You don't have to believe there's snow out there or not. It's out there no matter what. But they will one day soon. God's holy word is true. How many heard me say that? God, this old book, this old King James Bible, it's true. God's Bible is true. And God's holy word will come to pass. It always does. It always comes to pass. And on this day when all the lost of mankind from all generations, all the way from Adam on up to the generation's end, they're going to find out that this is true. There will be no place to run on that day. There will be no place to hide on that day. They will try to make excuses for their life before God Almighty on that day. But God will say, shut your mouth. God will shut their mouths. The gavel in God's great courtroom will come down and strike. And all their mouths will be shut. And the whole world will stand guilty before God. Look at that Romans 3:19 again. Now we know that whatsoever the things the law said, said on them who are under the law, and that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. All the world's going on today like there's nothing wrong. But there's a judgment day coming. There's going to be a most dreadful day for all human history. No other day in all human history of mankind can be compared to this day. If you're not saved, you'll be in this day. What I just read to you in Romans, in Revelation 20, if you're not saved, I'm not talking about being a church member, I'm not talking about being a good person, if you've not been washed in the blood, saved by the grace of God, you will be in Revelation chapter 20. When I teach the book of Romans, I teach the first doctrine I teach, there's five major doctrines in Romans. There's condemnation, justification, sanctification, glorification, and consecration. The first major doctrine is taught is the doctrine of condemnation. That's where all people are condemned, sinners before God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. The Bible says in Romans 6:20, the wages of sin is death. That's why all people die. I'm going to show you four, I'm going to illustrate four types of sinners today. Never done this before to do it in one message. So you that take in Romans, you say, boy, he's missing over a lot. It takes me 8 months to teach Romans. I'm going to do an overview here in 45 minutes. So don't greet me at the door and say, boy, you left a lot out, preacher. I did because you had to go home to eat. Okay, let me give you the four real quick. Someone needs to hear this. Coolidge, I prepared an exciting message yesterday, three and a half hours. Told Rose, I said, oh man, I'm ready to go. Went downstairs and said, no. God said, no, you're not. Go back up there and write another one. I've got about three or four messages here. I've never even preached yet, Josh. But it doesn't matter how many we make, does it, Rod? We got to do what God says. The day every mouth is stopped. Number one, There are four types of sinners in the world today. First of all, we call the first one the rational sinner. The rational sinner, if you're taking notes, and you ought if you're smart. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. When you get to a person and they say, there's no God, there ain't no, that guy's a rational sinner. The rational sinner suppresses the truth that God is. John 1:9 says that Jesus was the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. God puts a God conscience that whenever you were born with a God conscience that God is. That's why the babies, when your little baby says, where's God? God's got a God conscience in there. How many are still with me? And they are born with a God conscience that God is. Every person that's ever been born. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God, watch this, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, just believing there's a God don't get you to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing, it gives you an opportunity to keep going closer. Because once you say, no, there is no God, then you, the Bible says that your foolish heart, in Matthew 6:23, it says, if that light that be in you be darkened, how great is the darkness. And every time, think of a dome light. Every time a person says, no, there is no God, that light that they have, that God conscience that says God is, it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And one day that light goes out. That is the rational sinner. Let me give you an example of a rational sinner. Look at Luke chapter 12. I got to do this real quick. Luke 12. And look at verse 15 through 21. Here's an illustration of a rational sinner. And he said unto them, I'm in Luke 12, 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in abundance of things which he possess. There's one thing you need to possess, and that's the Christ as your Savior. You know, I've known a lot of people that possess Christ, and they didn't have any money, but they were some of the happiest people I ever met. And I've met some people that have got multi-millions of dollars, and sometimes they're the most unhappiest people. It's not how much you possess, but who you possess or possesses you. And he spake a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. Remember earlier I quoted you Psalms 14:1? Said the fool said in his heart, there's no God. I circled that word, thou fool. God reckoned that man as a fool. That man was, I believe, in the state of a rational sinner. He didn't believe there was a God. Thou fool, this night thou shalt be required of thee. Then whose all these things should be, which thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You're going to be rich, be rich, and be rich for God. You can't get no richer knowing Christ as your Savior. So this rational sinner, he suppresses the truth that God is, and he becomes a fool. Matter of fact, the Bible says he becomes vain in Romans chapter 1. It says he becomes vain. And then in verse 21 says, their foolish heart is darkened. And so if that light that be in thee be darkened, how great is the darkness? Matthew 6:23. Now notice, if you know someone who says there's no God and suppresses the truth that God... By the way, you got to work at being an atheist. You got to work. I mean, you go out and see the mountains that God's made and the oceans and all the seas and all the birds flying in the sky and all the stars in the heavens and just how man is made up so complicated, yet everything works perfect, hello? You got to work hard at being an atheist. Hello? Anybody here? That watch those people that say there's no God, their heart will become darkened. By the way, if you do know someone like that, you're dealing with a with a rational sinner. Years ago, I worked with a man. I was years ago, 40 years ago, I worked at Allied Chemical. I used to always witness to people. This kid came up to me one day. I was working with him on the power train there, and he said, I didn't say nothing to him all day. He said, at the end of the shift, he said, "Hey, people have warned me about you. You're always telling people about Jesus." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You didn't say nothing to me yet." I said, "No, I'm just getting ready to right now. We're off of work right now." He said, "Don't say a thing. I don't believe there's a God." I said, "Okay." And I didn't say nothing. And I said this to him, "That's all right. You can be saved anyways. I'm not going to waste my time on you." So the next day we go to work. Didn't say nothing to him. At the end, he said, "Hey, you didn't say nothing to me." I said, "I'm not going to. You don't have no hope. You say there's no God, so there's no hope. You got to believe that he is before you can get saved. You're going to hell, and I can't do anything about it." The next day he came up to me on Wednesday. He said, "Hey, I can be saved." I said, "No, you're going to hell. You're a rational sinner. You say there's no God." The next day, Thursday, he comes up. He said, "Hey, I want to be saved." I said, "No, you can't be saved. You don't believe there's a God." That Friday at noon in the lunchroom, I was having my Bible. He came across me. He said, "Listen, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be saved." And I said, "Sit down." And I shared the Word of God. And right there, he got saved in the lunchroom. And about 30 other men heard me give him the plan of salvation. I'm going to tell you right now, don't mess with God. He ain't no one to mess with. Amen? So that rational sinner, he puts the light out. He suppresses the truth that God is. And the next one's reformed sinner. The reform, he doesn't deny that there's, and by the way, there's a lot of judgments on that. You can't, there's a lot to this. I'm just giving you a little schematic thing here. This first one's rational sinner. Second one's reformed sinner. This reformed sinner, he doesn't deny there's a God. He believes there is a God. He doesn't know Christ is a Savior, but he believes there's a God. So he's a step up from the rational sinner that says there's no God. Amen? If you're going to be one of them, be the reformed. Don't be the rational. Hello? I mean, think rationally. How many are with me? Okay, he doesn't deny there's a God, but he believes he'll get to heaven by works. Let me show you in Luke. I'm hurrying. Look at Luke 18, verse 10. By the way, I'm going to give you some stuff here. And in your daily walk with meeting with people, you're going to find people with these characteristics. The reformed sinner. Look at Luke 18:10. Luke 18:10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, listen to this now. This is that reformed sinner. He thinks him and God are just like this." He said, "God's my buddy." The Pharisee stood and prayed and thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as others." See, what the trouble with him, he sees everybody else's sin. His problem is he don't recognize he's a sinner himself. Right. He said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as others, men, as extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess." Wow. This guy thinks he's a great guy. He's on his way to hell. He thinks because he's a good guy, maybe he's good, maybe he's a good family man, maybe he works, maybe he pays his taxes, maybe he helps other people around him. But being good doesn't get you to heaven. And this reformed sinner, he thinks he's good, he's going to make it to heaven on his merit. But he needs to know one thing. He's a sinner. All people are sinners. He's a lost sinner. The reformed sinner is counting on works to get him to heaven. I want to read to you. You can stay there, but I'm going to read to you Galatians 2:16. This sums up the reformed sinner. By the way, there's a lot that going, but I just can't do it in one service. In Galatians 2:6, in Galatians, I'll get the right book here. Galatians 2:16. There we go. Knowing, I like it if God lets us know stuff. Knowing, you don't have to be in the dark. You don't have to doubt. Knowing, I'm in Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He's not justified by the works of the law. But by faith, how are you justified? By faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. When you stand before God, it doesn't matter how good a person you were. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one, by the way. Boy, a lot of people's bubble is going to be broke that day, aren't they? This reformed sinner, he thinks he's going to stand in the flesh by his works, but he's not. So there's a rational sinner that says there's no God. He suppresses the truth that God is. There's a reformed sinner that's counting on his works to get to heaven. See, Pastor Dave sang about that song, and so did Grandma Sue. But what the work that really gets you to heaven is what Christ did on the cross. Christ shed his blood. He's the reason. That blood he shed was for you and me. That's what gets you to heaven. And then this number three, this religious one, the religious person trusts in his baptism, trusts in his, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Methodist. He trusts in his beads and prayer and catechisms. This person that you can talk to them, they say, if you're not a Catholic or if you're not a Baptist, if you're not a Methodist, you're not going to heaven. I'm going to tell you, there's no church that's going to get you to heaven. No church ever did save and never will save. It's all Christ, the Savior of the church, the founder of the church. Amen? Well, he sins because he thinks he needs God to look good. In Romans, don't even turn to, I'll just quote it. In Romans 3:8, he says, let us do evil that good may come. This religious sinner that's counting on all his religious things to get him to heaven, he thinks that he needs to sin to make God look good. God needs me. I'm so good. I got to sin a little bit. I got to make God look good. They actually believe that. That's what it says there in Romans 3:8. I'll read it to you again. Let us do evil that good may come. And so this religious sinner, and there's, by the way, I've met thousands of people in the last 40-some years of my life since I've been saved. And I've talked to a lot of people about their salvation. And a lot of times I'll say, are you saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Well, I'm a member of the Baptist Church. Or I'm a Catholic. Or I'm a Lutheran. How many are with me? Or they'll say to me, well, Pastor, I was baptized when I was 3 years old. And they're clinging on to the religion. It's not going to stand when they stand before God, though. You know, Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Can anyone say amen? And so, the man that we show for the religious sinner is over in Acts chapter 10. Look at Acts chapter 10. Cornelius. Look at verse 1 and 2. There was a certain man in the Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. I like that man. He would go good in Ravenna, wouldn't he? I bet he might have some relations that came out of the bloodline, came out of this Ravenna town, probably Ravenna, Italy. But notice what he was. Look at what the Bible says about this man. He was a devout man and one that feared God. with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Man, this guy had it going for him, Josh. Churchgoer, gave money, prayed. Hello? That's what it says. But he wasn't saved. He was on his way to hell. And if you study the scripture, God sends Peter there to tell him about Christ, and then he gets saved. See, it's more than being a good person. It's more than just going to church. It's more than just doing the right things. No man is complete until he's completed by Christ. And Jesus Christ is the answer to all your things, for all your life and for all your problems. And he's definitely the answer for heaven. Now notice, this man thought he was going to heaven because he was religious. Brother Marty, I wonder how many people, how many multi-billions of people on the day of judgment are going to be standing there. God, you don't understand. I was a member of such and such a church. God, I held this office. God, I was a deacon. God, I did the rosary. God, I did all. They're going to be naming all kinds of things about their church and what they did. But what they didn't do is do what God said. God said, you must be born again. I'm thankful for the Baptist church. I believe Jesus started the church. I believe he started a Baptist church. I really believe that. But they know there's that one Baptist church going to get you to heaven. No, he died for all people. When you go to church, don't count on your church in all its goodness to get you to heaven. It won't get, there's not enough baptisms, there's not enough praying beads that you can pray over. There's not enough Hail Marys. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but I'm telling you, if you don't have Christ, you've got nothing. So, you got the rational sinner that says there's no God. You got the reformed sinner that's working his way to heaven, but he doesn't know he's not going to make it. He believes there's a God. The religious sinners believe there's a God too. You just don't know him as Savior. Look up here. How many people that you know, they'll say they believe in God, but they don't know Christ? Look up here. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Betty, when I got saved, when I was 20 years old, I got down in an old front of an old green couch. Me and Rosie had just been married a few months. We had an old used couch and lamps, and we paid $110. I think it was $110 for the whole thing. But we weren't in debt. Sometimes it's better to have used furniture and no debt than have a lot of new furniture and have debt you can't have to worry about paying. And I was already a member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. I said a prayer with a preacher, God save me. I got baptized. But a year later I realized, man, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're a member. You're a faithful member. I prayed. I actually gave out tracts and told other people they needed Christ. But that day when I was reading the Bible for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner going to hell and that I needed Christ. And until you get to that point in your life, you'll never get saved. And I remember getting down on my knees, oh, dear God, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. Oh, Jesus, save my soul from hell. Lord, come into my heart. Take me to heaven when I die and save my soul from hell. And Lord, I'm going to trust you the best way I know right now. That's what got me saved. How many are still with me? That's real conversion. That's real faith. Now, stay with me. This last one that we're going to show you is the redeemed. There's a rational. What's the first one? Rational sinner. What's the second one? Reformed sinner. What's the third one? And then the last one is the redeemed sinner. And that's the category you want to be in. The rational sinner says there is no God. The reformed sinner says I can make it on my own. The religious sinner is counting on all his religious things to get him to heaven. Everything besides Christ. But this redeemed sinner, look at Luke, and I'll close out. Luke chapter 23. Oh, you guys, I know the other message I prepared would have been a whole lot longer than this. You guys lucked out today. Luke 23, look at verse 39. We're talking about the redeemed sinner here. I told you there was a rational sinner. Rationalize God out. Deny that God is. There's a reformed sinner trying to work his way to heaven. There's a religious sinner counting on his church, but not Christ. And all the things that go with it. Baptism, catechism, you name it. There, you say, why are you going to heaven? Because I'm a Catholic. Why are you going to go to heaven? Because I'm a Baptist. Why are you going? Because I got baptized. They're clinging to everything but the truth. Come, you're still with me. But then you got this redeemed sinner. Look at Luke 23:39. One of the malefactors, and we know that word malefactor means criminal. One of the malefactors were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. I could just see this guy. He didn't give a flip about Jesus. He just wanted to get off the cross. But the others answering rebuked him, saying, doth not thou fear God, seeing thou art that thou art in the same condemnation? There's that word condemnation, class. And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward for our deeds. But this man, Christ, had done nothing amiss. No, he didn't. He was a just and died for the unjust, so he might bring us unto God. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man on the cross got saved right there. By the way, didn't belong to any church. Didn't get baptized either. Never even gave no money. Hello? He had one prayer, one plea. Look at that verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive our due reward. How many see that? That man on the cross, he had real repentance. He saw himself a lost sinner, guilty. And he realized that Christ was dying for his sins. And he said, I deserve this because I'm a no good sinner. See, before you can get saved, you got to get lost. Jesus said, I've come seeking to save them which are lost. How many are still with me? And this man said, I repent. Look what he says in verse 41. We indeed justly, for we received the due reward. We deserve what we're getting. We're nothing, no good, but no good sinners. That's repentance. And then he had faith towards Christ. Look what he said. And he said, Jesus, Lord. See, he saw Jesus more than a good person. He saw him more than a religious person. He saw him as a Savior, the Lord. By the way, until you see Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, you're not going to get saved. You got to see Christ in a different way. How many are still with me? He saw Christ as his sacrifice. As they sang, he saw Christ being his sacrifice for all his sins. Oh God, you are my sacrifice. I'm accepting your, I want you to be my sacrifice. That's why he took Christ. You want Christ to be your sacrifice? Then receive him into your heart. He had faith unto salvation, trusting Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The redeemed sinner had godly sorrow for his sins, and he had repentance unto God. He also had faith, he also turned faith to Christ. I'm going to read this scripture to you. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow. And then it goes, not to be repented of. Don't be sorry that you're sorry. That day Bobby and I broke down and saw myself a lost sinner, evil, condemned before God. And I said, oh God, I'm sorry. He said, don't be sorry for that. That godly sorrow is good. That godly sorrow brought me to salvation. See, until you see you're a lost sinner and you can't make it on your own, and there's nothing you can do to get to heaven on your own than your own merit or church belong membership and baptism, I don't care what it is, until you can say, God, I just need Jesus to get me to heaven. God, I'm a condemned sinner and I need Jesus. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come in and be my Savior. Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance, not unto salvation. It says, unto salvation here. Let me read to you again. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Pastor Dave and I both believe this. I don't believe you can get saved until you get repent. I really believe that, Carl. You got to have godly sorrow. Man, I'm a no good, dirty rat. People just say, when you just walk down, shake my hand, say this prayer. I believe that God can save them in that prayer if they mean it. But just saying words don't mean nothing. You can say, God save me 1,000 times, like you say a Hail Mary 1,000 times, and you aren't going to go to heaven. Well, you said, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It does mean, for whosoever shall really call upon the Lord. But it goes on to say, for with the heart, man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Read those verses in front of it. Then if you do that with your heart, whosoever will may come. How many are still with me? And there's a lot of people with lip service, but there's more people with lip service in the Christianity than had heart service. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of. Don't be sorry that you're sorry. Amen? Now in closing, I want to ask these questions to you. I'm all done. You're about 5 minutes out. Which sinner are you? Or what sinner maybe you might have been? Are you the rational sinner that said there's no God? Are you the reformed sinner that was trying to get to heaven by works, like me? I thought I'd be good enough to get there. I'm a kid on Galena Street, a thug. And I thought I was good enough to get to heaven. I buy Girl Scout cookies and help the lady across the street. Hello, people think that. I don't beat my wife. I don't cheat. Hello, how many are with me? I paint my house. How many are with me? I don't take drugs. You'd be surprised how many good, upright people out there that aren't even saved. But they think their uprightness is going to get them to heaven, and it's not. Are you that rational sinner that there's no God? Are you that reformed sinner that's counting on your good works to take you to heaven? It's not. Are you that religious sinner that you're trusting in religion and your baptism and all your catechisms and everything to get you to heaven? Or are you the redeemed sinner that had repentance of sin and trusted Christ as your Savior? If you've not made Jesus your Savior today, simple, easy message. Someone need to hear this. I had a whole different message I was going to preach and wanted to preach it too. But I want to be obedient to God. There's 4 different types of sinners in the world. Every one of us are one of them. And even if you're redeemed now, you were one of those that had some of the characteristics of those others. If you're not saved today, forget about religion. Forget about all... If you stood before God, have you made Christ your personal Savior? Have you been born again? I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about being a member of any church. I'm not talking about giving money. I'm talking about you're going to die someday. We don't know when. Everyone, we've got an appointed day. And when you die, we're going to stand before God. And unless you know Christ as your Savior, I mean, really know Christ as your personal Savior, you won't go to heaven. And the world needs to understand this. And there's so many lost people in churches. You wonder, what's wrong with the church? There's a lot of lost people in there. Sometimes even the preachers. Praise God, I think you got preachers here. I know we got ones that are born again here. How many are still with me? So today I want to say to you, maybe you're like me, like I was years ago. You just realize, wow, I got religion, but I don't have Jesus. By the way, I was, Freddie, I remember you getting saved years ago, because I brought a message similar to this, and you got saved like, I was reading the Bible, and the Bible convicted me that I was going to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. By the way, hell's real, and it's forever. And for the first time in my life, 20 years, first time in my life, I realized I was lost, guilty before God, and the whole world, every mouth stopped, and the whole world, guilty, guilty, guilty. The gavel of God comes down, guilty. And unless you got Christ as your Savior and the blood of Christ applied to you, you are guilty. So don't play on religion. It's not going to get you to heaven. Don't be playing on good works. It's not going to get you to heaven. Say, I don't believe in God anyways. It ain't going to affect me at all. Oh, it's going to affect you, because heaven's real, hell's real. And so today I want to say to you, if you never came to the point of being a redeemed sinner, I want to give you the opportunity right now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I did what you told me today, Father. I did. I was obedient. I'm glad I was. It didn't tickle anybody's ears, but they sure got truth. And Father, I'm thankful that over 40-some years ago, almost 45, you showed me I was a lost sinner on my way to hell. And you showed me I needed Christ to be my personal Savior. I wonder, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking, and I'm not going to come to you, I give you my word, I won't. How many could say without a doubt, Pastor, I know there was a time in my life that I saw myself a lost sinner going to hell, and I asked Christ to save my soul. I know I'm a redeemed sinner. I'm not afraid to stand before God today. Could you raise that hand? I know for a fact I'm redeemed. Thank you. You may put them down. No one's looking. How many would be honest with yourself and honest with God? And just say today with your heart towards God, Pastor, I never really did see me a lost sinner going to hell. I'm probably one or some of those, several of those that you've mentioned. And I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to miss out on heaven after all Christ did for me. Today, I'd like to ask Christ to save my soul so I know for a fact. Who'd raise that hand? I want to be, yes, yes. Anyone else? Who else? I might have missed your hands. God bless you. God bless you. Christian workers. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Jesus don't want you to die and go to hell either. That's why he came from heaven. That's why he suffered. That's why he agonized. That's why he shed his blood. He did it willingly so you and I could have eternal life. We're going to stand and sing a verse. If you want to be saved, maybe you're here and you've never been baptized. You've been saved, but you haven't been baptized. Pastor Dave will baptize you. One of the preachers here. Whatever it is, whatever you think you need to do for God today, that's what I think you ought to do. Let's stand. John, what page are we going to sing? Holy Spirit, have your will and way, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Lead us in.